There's something that all of us human beings have in common, whether you're on this side of the planet or on the other side of the planet, something that makes us more of the higher of the creation, something that you can be as old as my baby boy of 9 months old, or you can be 109 years old, have this ability. A Jewish rabbi was once quoted saying that God created people because he loves stories. Stories is something that each of us have the ability to do. And you might be saying this morning, I'm not a very good storyteller. And I want you to know that you are a good storyteller. But yes, the fact is that there are some amazing storytellers. One of our members here at Bowman Hills, I've got that imagery of that picture of that farm, and there's this big bull, and the farmer has that corn, that cob of corn in his pocket, and here comes that bull wanting that corn, and I'm there watching the tongue of that bull going for that corn on the cob, and I'm just thinking to myself, what does a giant bull's tongue look and feel like in person? You see, even the person that doesn't think that they have the ability to tell a good story, you might say, hey, how was your day today? Well, and in that sigh of saying, well, there's a huge story in that. Yeah, you've got to ask and probe a little bit deeper to what it is. Or maybe you've come home to your spouse or to your friends and family and you said, you can't believe what happened to me today. Oh, you've got to listen to what happened. And then you go forward in telling the story. Each of us are involved in our own story, involved in other people's stories, involved in a huge drama story of the ages. You know, the greatest storyteller of all became man and lived among us. Jesus was one of the most profound storytellers, and what Jesus would do was speak to the people in parables, metaphors, similes, hyperboles, would speak in ways in which that would kind of confuse the people, using illustrations in what we believe that who Jesus created all things. Colossians 1:15 and 16 say that he is the image, speaking of Jesus, of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created under heaven and earth, whether visible or invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. So here Jesus comes to the story. Matthew 13, 34, and 35, the author says, all things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables. Without parable, he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Jesus comes into humanity and tells stories to people. Stories that will lead them and draw them into a deeper connection with God. This morning, friends, we will look over Matthew 13, Jesus' first discourse in the book of Matthew, the first parable, the parable of the sower. Father God of heaven, we are desperately needing you in these times. Our hearts are failing. We see chaos all around us, and Jesus, we need you to speak to our soul. Open up the conditions to us of our soul's soil, for we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Like I said, we'll be studying from Matthew chapter 13 this morning. Matthew chapter 13. And understanding a little bit of the context of what Jesus, right before we get into Jesus' first parable, Jesus' popularity is picking up. People are running to him, claiming that this is got to be the Son of David. This has got to be Messiah. And these followers believe in who he is, and they desperately want to know who he is. That's the first group of people. Then there's the people who are kind of on the fence. yeah, he could be. He's doing all these things, and I guess maybe he's fulfilling Scripture. I don't really know what it says, but maybe he is. But on the other hand, maybe he's just some magician or something. And those are the type of people like, hey, you want to go down and see this guy? He's claiming to be Messiah. Could put on a big show for us. So that's your second group. But then you have another group, a group who say that this is none other than the works of Beelzebul, of Satan. They want everything to shut Jesus down. So we have these groups of people who are coming in and listening to Jesus. Now, right before this, in verse 1 of chapter 13, because we know this, it says that in the same day, Jesus went out of the house. So right before this, Jesus' mother and brothers are asking about him, and Jesus is teaching with his friends and disciple and whoever else is in the building of the house, and they're like, hey, Jesus, your mother and brothers are looking for you. And he's not giving them the respect that the culture is asking to give, and he says, these are my mothers and brothers, those who do the will of the Father who is in heaven, who sent me. And so picking up in the narrative, picking up in the story, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. So he's by the Sea of Galilee. Verse 2, and a great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now we see in this imagery of what the narration is telling us is that Jesus is sitting on a hillside, and then all of a sudden all these masses of people are starting to gather around him, and he's saying, or maybe God is telling him, like, now's the time that you need to start speaking and teaching to these people. And he's thinking, well, I can't do anything, so I'm going to go down to the edge of the boat, or the edge of the shoreline, and there's this boat, and he steps into it, and then we see that Jesus takes a seat in the boat. In any of you who have been in a canoe or something like that, you know you don't stand up in one unless you're joking around, because you're probably going to flip over. And we may possibly just read over that really quickly of him sitting in the boat. But for what people saw, this was an authoritative move. This was one that Jesus was trying to say, I know what it is that I'm talking about. And people perked their ears up when he took that seat of position and starting teaching as one who had been educated. But another picture that I want you to see in this is that Jesus, and what we had talked about in Colossians, and we can even go to John chapter 1, of Jesus was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and in the beginning he was with God, and he created all things. So we know that Jesus was involved in creation. He was creator that God gave him to create. Now Jesus steps into a boat, right? And then he goes and sits in this boat. And what does a boat do? It floats on the water. And as we're about to discover and what we're about to see, you may know this, is that Jesus has to speak parables because the people are basically fool-hearted. They don't understand spiritual things. It's quoted from Isaiah that they have ears to hear but don't hear. They have eyes to see and they don't see. So Jesus, one of the creators, one of the Godhead creating, sits out onto the water, hovering, if you will, teaching to a chaotic group of people. I don't know about you, but this image sparks up one in me of the book of Genesis, where the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. Before the world was created, it was chaotic. This beautiful picture of what Jesus came to do, to tell stories, to draw our hearts. Here he is sitting on this boat, expounding about mysteries, expounding about things from the foundation of the world. So let's go into what Jesus has to say about this parable. Verse 3, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, or listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell by stony places, where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, the earth scorched. They were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up, and they choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus is saying, are you listening to what I'm telling you here? Now, I want to make something plain and obvious before you this morning. No hidden tricks. No at the end of the story punches. Jesus is the sower. The word of God is the seed. You and I are the different conditions of the soil. Now, understanding something here is that I was having a discussion with a friend about this parable, and they didn't necessarily understand that this was one actual field. They thought, oh, this field over here has stones in it that they weren't able to take root. That field over there has the wayside where the birds come in, devour. And this field over here has the good soil. And that field over there, it has the thorns and the things that would grow up and take away from the seeds. Friends, this is the same area. And what the sower is doing here is that he's overseeding everything in that one place. Now, something in our technologically advanced culture is we have TVs and we have documentaries and things, and I'm sure you've seen those documentaries that may not be for the kids. There's a bunny down in the valley, you know, eating some clover and whatever herbs and things are down in the valley. And then all of a sudden, the music kind of gets a little bit dramatic, and there's this hawk flying around up in the sky. And we all know that hawk has the hawk eyes to look down on its prey, and we're thinking, please don't go and get that. Run away, bunny. But the whole time, we have this narrator telling us what we're already seeing. Jesus didn't have this kind of technology. All Jesus had was what he had created. And so I believe every instance in what Jesus was telling in parables, the situation was actually unfolding for the people to see. As a physical representation, a live, vivid thing of an actual person going out and sowing seeds. They're seeing birds swoop down and grab the seeds. They're seeing the thorny places. They're seeing the stones and the good soil as well. Friends, the landing of the seeds are the same in every condition. Nothing has changed. Remember, the seeds are the word of God. So understanding this picture, we have this seeds falling by the wayside. Now, the wayside would be kind of understood as the back road, the wayside to take. Luke actually goes into the wordage that they fell upon the path. But in this culture, there was these main highways, probably more resembling something of a fire trail out in the national parks. Not necessarily a road, but enough they could pass a cart on. But these waysides, they're like the footpaths. And what would happen is that robbers and things would be on the loose on the main highways, hiding in the rocks and the different places, and word would get out. And the people who didn't want to face those robbers, they would take the back roads. And what these back roads did, they just kind of wound through different people's properties, literally going through patches of fields where the grain would actually be. And so Jesus says that in these places, these hard, trodden down paths, you know what it's like when you're out hiking and the path that you're on is very firm and solid. And then when you step off the path, it kind of, you know, is a little bit more cushionier. It hasn't been compacted. And so when these seeds fall on there, there's no chance that they can actually go down and hide underneath underneath the good soil. And so the birds see an opportunity to swoop down and grab those things, and they're gone. In the other condition, we see of this same field, the same place, we see rocks. And in this day and age, they didn't have the machinery that we have, that we could blow dynamite rocks out of there, or we can have big, heavy equipment to grab the rocks, or jackhammers to break them up. They only had, animal labor in their own backs to pick up rocks. And some of these rocks were massive parts of the mountain, and there's no way that they could pull these rocks out. And maybe it was only a little bit of rock everywhere, but underneath it was massive, kind of like when you see an iceberg. And so when these seeds hit there, they're not able to grow. They look like they are. They grow fast, but then because of the depth that the seeds' roots can't grow, the sun comes out and kills them. We all see this in our driveways. We think, man, that, how can that thing grow there? It doesn't even have any depth of soil. It's a concrete. We understand this imagery. And then we see the thorns and briars that come up. The sower, when he's sowing, he doesn't necessarily understand that there's briar seeds and bushes that are about to spring up. But what he's doing is overseeding, and he's hitting every area as thoroughly as he can. And then we see that there's good soil, and that's the intention of where the sower is trying to sow those seeds. So again, understanding that the Word of God is the seed, and that Jesus is the sower in our hearts, who we are the conditions of the soil. And you might say, you know what, God's Word isn't really working for me. I mean, hey, I take my 5-minute devotion. It's got that, kind of chopped up verse on the top that I don't really necessarily know or nor have time to look up this verse in its full context of what it's saying, but hey, it's got the ellipses there at the end. It's been cut, the three little dots, and then you read somebody else's thoughts on that. There's nothing wrong with that, but you didn't go deep in the Word. Somebody else went deep for you. And you might be even saying, I've listened to this person and that person, how I should live my life, but it just doesn't seem to be working how they're telling me how I need to live my life. Friends, the seeds are the same for every person. It's where the seeds land. That's the question that you have to ask of yourself. Now the sower, again, Christ is the sower. I've got some bad news for you this morning. You are not the sower. Jesus is the sower. Now, we do have a role in sowing seeds. That's not the argument that I'm trying to make. The fundamental question that I want you to ask of yourself this morning, are your ears closed? Are your eyes closed? Because if they are, then you have no part in the Word of God. You don't even know what it's trying to be said. Have you let Jesus open up those places inside of you? This morning, would you say in your heart before the all-knowing God, God, I haven't really been listening to you. God, I'm only concerned about my situation. I don't care about what else is going on. I'm only concerned about me. Would you say to yourself that, you know what, God, my studying of knowing you more has been shallow. I haven't been trying. Would you say to God this morning, I am a sinner? Would you say to God this morning, I am an adulterer? Would you say to God this morning, you know what, I may not go and steal people's things, but God, I've been stealing the time that you give me only for myself. Friend, what is the condition of your heart? Is it stone? Is it so trodden down, so calloused that you don't know anything about anything? Are you so worried about the cares of this world that the Word of God is choked out? Now, we've all been to restaurants and we've all ordered appetizers. Appetizers are a fun thing to get. You get a couple or you get the whole appetizer platter. But it's the thing about appetizers is they don't give you enough that's actually filling. It's not the main meal that you're after. It's only whetting your appetite. Friends, know and understand this, that sermons are appetizers. Not that the person giving the sermon hasn't dedicated their heart and soul into that message, and it is exactly what God has asked them to preach, but how often have you come into a church, listened to a service, and then by the end of it, you don't really know what was going on, and you're so distracted, you don't really care. You're just there. You're just a part of it. And then by the end of the day, you try to think back, what was that sermon even about? I've already thrown away my bulletin. I don't know. What was it? You see, that's the problem with allowing just a sermon or a small little devotion in your life. It only whets the appetite. We need to be in the main course, sitting at the feet of Jesus and asking Jesus, what was this sermon about? What was it that I need to apply to my life? And we see next in the story, that's exactly what the disciples are after. They want the main course. They don't want to be like the people who Jesus says, he who has an ear, let him hear. When they're sitting there all confused, like, what is this guy talking about? The disciples come wanting more. In verse 10, the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he said to them, because it has been given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Why has it been given? It's because the disciples are coming to wanting to know. They're saying, there's something going on with what he's saying. It's starting to take root within me, and I want to know more about it. It's starting to grow. The word is the seed. The word of God is the seed. And one of the greatest questions that needs to be asked, along with are your eyes open and are your ears opened? One that will determine how you treat that seed, the word of God. One that hinges on your eternal destiny. Jesus himself is asking you this question. How do you treat my message? How do you treat the word of God? You see, when Jesus first popped onto the scene in Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. Friends, what is the condition of your heart this morning? Only you can answer that question. Now, conditions of the soil, Jesus discloses these mysteries of what he tells them of the disciples. The explanation of the sower in verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seeds by the wayside. Remember, friends, it's that trodden down, beaten down path. It's the highway for the worldly travel. Is your soul so hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, so callous that you let injustices that you know you should speak up on go unspoken? Do you believe that the word of God has the ability to soften the calloused heart? Did you hear my question? Do you believe that the word of God has the ability to soften the calloused heart? I want you to know this morning, friends, Satan believes that. He knows that he fears it, that if the word of God takes root within you, that it will do a mighty wonder. That's why we see the birds coming down, symbols of Satan snatching away. The times where you go out of the sermon, I don't really know what was said. It was snatched away from you. Jesus continues of explaining the sower in verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word immediately and receives it with joy. Sounds good, right? Verse 21. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. This is what we know, what is known as God wanting to take our stone hearts and make them hearts of flesh, a stone cold heart. You see, they do receive the word. That sounded good, right? There in verse 20. But they don't count the cost. The requirement that God asks of in his word. You know, this person does let the light of God in. It would appear as if on the outside, man, they're a good Christian person. But it's not in all the areas of the person's light. They don't let it shine in their hidden habits that they have justified away and said, it's all right what I'm looking at. It's all right what I'm doing. Friends, this is a dependency on self. This is that person's heart condition. Verse 22, the third soil condition. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The word takes root in that person's heart. But it's in that part of the field, out in the corner of the field. It's in the corner of that person's heart. And then all of a sudden, whatever the cares of the world, they get choked up. The perplexities of I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do that. The cares, the deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things. Cares will cause burdens. Pleasures of this life, all of these things, the cares of life drive us further and further away from the Savior's help. Friends, without the word, without faith in God's word, the soul, the inner person, has no guide, it has no safeguards, no railings to keep you from falling to your sure death. When you set aside God's word as if, I don't really have time for this, you are allowing Satan to come in and have his playground on yourself. But the question you might be asking then, if you're listening to this message, if you're understanding that maybe your heart is a little bit cold, maybe you've let a little bit of the cares of the world take hold of you, maybe you've got this calloused heart that you're not even really listening to the word of God. Maybe you're trying to say, well, how do I have that soil that where the good seed fell? How can these gospel seeds take root? How does the soul draw nourishment from Christ? How does the spiritual life thrive? I don't know. Somebody help me. Listen to this quote. Grace can thrive only in the heart that is being constantly prepared for the precious seeds of truth. Did you hear that? Constant preparation. Constantly prepared. Friends, this is making time for God. This is saying, you know what? I may not watch my weekly TV show on Wednesday evenings. I'm going to get connected to the prayer meeting and pray for my country, pray for my church, pray that God will come soon. This is taking God's word and making it a part of your life, living it out. Not just as a facade, but taking the words of Christ and trying to apply them in your life. This is getting down on your knees and going through your soul of the cultivation of the digging out process. This is asking the living fountain to give you water to break up the hardened clay soil. Friends, now is the time. Now is the priority for us. We are part of a story that angels are desiring to look into. I love the song. I don't know the name of it, but angels have never felt the joy that our salvation brings. Friends, what is the condition of your soul soil? Does it bounce off to be stolen? Does it get drowned out by the cares of the world? Or is it taking root and all of a sudden you die? Nobody said it was going to be easy. God is desperately trying to be a part of your life, trying to speak to you. I don't have to tell you what day and age that we're living in, friends. If our hearts aren't prepared, we're not going to be able to stand. That was one of the conditions. Because of persecution, because of strife, they fall away. I am pleading with you this morning, wherever you are, that you will say to God, God, I want you to come into my soul's soil. I have no idea how to do this, and I want you to take root within me. Father, I want to make a dedication that I will read your word on a daily basis. I encourage you to take this word wherever you go, and that you make it a part of your daily diet. That you pray with an earnest effort to ask God for wisdom, to ask God to take away the places in your soul that you're trying to hide away. I know there are many out there who are tired, who are scared, who don't know what is going on. If you make this holy word your strong foundation, you won't sink. You won't be cut down. You will only thrive and grow. Friends, go deep in the Word of God. Father in heaven, many things have been brought to us this morning, things in which that are hard to hear, things in which avenues we don't want to go down and think about in our lives. Jesus, you have come in such a mighty way to tell stories to us that will uplift our soul. Stories that open us up in a vulnerable way. Jesus, shine your loving light within. Master Physician, come in and till the ground of our cold-hearted souls. We need a wake-up. We desperately need you working in our lives. Jesus, I'm asking in your name that power be poured out onto your people, that they dedicate themselves to you, that they try with all their might to get into a deeper relationship with you. Jesus, fulfill your promises to say that, lo, you will be with us always, even until the end. Many are hurting, many are confused, many are scared, many are questioning if you're even there. Make yourself shine in the most divine way. For we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.